So, I am talking with a coworker today. You know when you shoot the shit, and an anime popped up on the table. You know how I get down. But essentially, the coworker had this to say, and quote, "You know what's the weirdest anime I've ever seen? High School DD." And my response to that was, "What the fuck is that?" And to which he was like, "He's all, you never heard of it?" He was like, "High School DD." It was like, "Girl with red hair." It was like, "High School DXD." And I went, "Oh, High School DXD." I was like, "Yes." As I am a charlatan that likes to pronounce the X's in these anime names, because fuck them. And also, it is Hunter x Hunter. I don't give a damn what the creator said. He obviously was smoking hashishi when he made that crappy show. So, and I don't like it either. So, I for damn sure ain't gonna say his name out of respect. But, yeah, High School DxD, and I was like, "Oh, yeah." And I was like, "Well, now we got a problem." And he's like, "Why?" And I was like, "Well, I actually like High School DxD." Much to his shock and awe. As you all know, I'm a very opinionated person. And, generally, things tend to go on the negative side, so you would wonder, like, why the fuck would I like such a trashy show? Which it is, by all means. It really is. And I'm not going to be one to say, like, hey, you know, you always get the one or something like that. People love that show where the boy sister was a goddamn, like, hentai artist and he really wanted to confess to her for some reason. That's just bad, but, you know, whatever. Or My Little Sister Can't Really Be This Cute. That also was gross, but that's not really the thing that drew me to liking High School DxD. It's not something that I look at and I'm just like, "Oh, all of this is garbage, but I just enjoy it because it's garbage." No, I actually, on a certain fundamental level, there's depth and complexity there that should be ventured. And I would love if it is explored by other people of Japanese freaking writing within the genre that happens to be my favorite, which is the harem genre. But as you all know, I might like the harem genre, but the harem genre does not like me. Most animes that are associated with it are either complete and utter bullshit, or they generally miss the entire concept of a dude surrounded by a bunch of girls, which they typically make just that, one dude surrounded by a bunch of girls. And that's just wrong. It's so wrong. Like, it's not to be surrounded. They gotta fucking like them, you dumbasses. But I digress. But essentially, we started talking about the show as he viewed it. He like, you know, essentially, like, he's like, it's weird, but he enjoys it. And I was like, I agree. And then both of us came to the same conclusion in terms of how we depict and talked about the main character. Whereas the dude is someone who is completely about that life of trying to get some, which is something that you would love to emulate in any other type of character in that situation. But for whatever fucking reason, the Japanese have this real big hangup about actually committing to having a character be that forthcoming. So you got a dude whose whole persona and whole mindset is that he wants to be a harem king. You know, a vague thing that doesn't really have any type of goal because anime. But the notion itself, as the show continues to progress, he actually builds up a harem of girls that actually like him and want to be with him, who generally give him the opportunity to do something to him, like, well, to do stuff to them if he would just let it happen. But he doesn't. He shies away from it and runs and screams at the very inkling of actually getting it on. But for whatever reason, it's like, "Oh, boobs, boobs, boobs. I want to touch them. I want to feel them." Then it's like, "All right, touch them and feel them." Ah, you're so forward. And it's the gayest thing ever. But it's so anime, it's just disgusting. But that's how, and it's not just the Japanese, it's how Chinese and the Korean stuff is as well. It's an Eastern thing. Now with the Japanese, as far as their society is, they, the far more closed and underspoken woman is the far more desirable one. Even if they have a character that essentially looks up to or aspires to a character, they generally showcase, like, you know, it's like a girl that they like or whatever, and they're forward and real brash and whatnot. You see multiple moments where essentially they're incredibly vulnerable, and they're typically happen to be moments that the main character themselves are privy to. So even if everyone else knows that deep inside they're just a scared little girl, it doesn't really matter, because the main character, like, he's going to see that, and he's going to know and acknowledge that, and that's where he get that docile type of wife and woman. Because again, that is a Japanese thing. So it's hard for me to combat that mindset towards their shows and whatnot, when literally this is something imbued into your fucking culture. Like, no matter how much I might sit there and scream, rip and rave that for the love of God, Tenshi was supposed to be with Ryoko, it doesn't change the fact that on the new thing, he got with everybody and he shouldn't have. But therein lies the issue, right? And it's like, Issei in High School DxD was a character that essentially is just completely forward. I loved how open and how much he loved his perverseness, right? Like, he was someone who, he's not shying away from the fact that he's this pervert horn dog, and the fact that he has a gaggle of women that accept this aspect of him, as well as know about the finer points of his life and his personality, and they appreciate that as well, is something that is to be revered. Hell, the fact that he got the Kohai girl, who was like, who was like a cat thing, eventually, and like she started liking him as well, and I was like, cool, because she actually was one of those characters who was just like, ah, you're a pervert, I don't like you, whatever. Then he got to know her, she got to know him, and then it was like, hey, bitch, gotcha. Just like everybody else, yeah, I'm that nigga. But again, when it comes time to actually something, like, you know, happening because of this relationship or these aspects and whatnot, especially with a series like High School DxD, where you don't generally have to focus on just the relationship, which is literally one of the other main issues that harems got. I believe I have like multiple videos talking about the problems with the harem genre, but one of the other things that generally you kind of need in order to deviate away from keeping to that genre, or to, you know, to keep that genre going and to keep your stuff interesting, is to initially have the main character do other shit than just worry about the relationship between him and a bunch of other women. So when you have something like Tenshi that essentially just could do and be anything as long as you kind of keep the party going, then there's nothing wrong as long as you keep the party going. But I feel that they ran out of ideas as soon as the end of the third season. You know, as soon as they got Lady Tokimi to stay with them as well, it just, they just fell off the rails. And then it essentially just started focusing on the Kenshi thing. And I talked about how season 4 and 5 are just shit. But yeah, like essentially that's where the issue was, is that they couldn't keep the party going. Now, when you have it to where your entire series itself just revolves around the genre, then again, once the main character establishes his relationship with all the characters, that's it. No more party. You can't keep the party going. But if you have a main character that's about something else, you know, he wants something else, he's doing something else, his life does not revolve around the relationships occur in his life, then you're able to keep the party going. He can actually be with, what, 5-4 girls and constantly be fighting people, like striving to get stronger and shit like that. You don't got to keep having someone get kidnapped. Bleach! But you can still have it to where there's interesting concepts and things going on that just keep the party going. So you can actually enjoy the character enjoying the life that we were promised, which is that he would get a fucking harem. And High School DxD is one of the only shows that generally does that by having it to where they're constantly fighting people, they're engaged in certain battles. You have the relationship aspect be a major part of the story, but it isn't so overwhelming that you like lose sight of the stuff of him having the dragon on his arm, or getting stronger, or having like a fated person that he's supposed to fight, shit like that. It's not overtaking the whole story, but it's enough to keep the party going. You see what I'm saying? Therefore, enabling and establishing the harem concept to actually be validated. But instead, you have the people who essentially focus on the genre and essentially the romance more than anything else, and then they get caught up in everything and their feelings and whatnot. And I don't know what it is, but The Japanese, like, I've seen Chinese shit that deviate away from this, which is why I'll give them a pass on it. But this is only as far as their comics are concerned. But the Japanese, for whatever fucking reason, just cannot separate the concept of a romance as well as, like, a harem. So, it, no matter what, it always falls down to that there was always one main girl. It's never that, yeah, you're able to have that same romantic concept and relationship with all these girls that are attracted to the main guy. No, it literally is only one girl. And it's beyond stupid. It's just the worst. But you get shit like that all the time within this genre in anime. And essentially, like I said, High School DxD is one of the few things that does not do that. So, which is why I generally like it. Like I said, on a deeper level, it's far more enjoyable for me than it would be for anyone else, especially if you just kind of don't really care about seeing that whole boner material type of shit from an anime. And if anything, To Love Rue would be something that you would definitely want to stay away from, because that's all that fucking is. And it's just the worst. And then you essentially have the opposite of the spectrum, like Love Hina, which generally shouldn't even be called a fucking harem, but that's all that it is, but it shouldn't even be classified as that. It literally is just a romance story, but under the guise of, well, if you just keep throwing bitches at the dude, we can sit there and say that this is a harem. But literally the only thing that he does, or the only emotional contact that he has, is with one character, and then you kind of have a sense of a symbolism being showcased with another one. But other than that, everyone else is just around. They don't really have feelings for him like that. They don't really care for him like that, but they're just around. And it's just terrible. But I hate Love Hina. Tenshi Muyo all day long, I hate Love Hina. But essentially, that's just kind of where the conversation lied, you know, like where we was discussing and just talking about High School DxD and all that. And I was saying, like, it's weird that essentially a character like Issei is not, like, you don't see more characters like that. I would say another character that essentially would be on a better level than Issei would be Shoto Kazuma from Konosuba. Kazuma is dope. Like, he is a no-nonsense main character, and I love him for that. And the only thing that I hate about Kazuma's character is that they get caught up with trying to make him be a part of whatever bullshit they got everyone else doing. That it's just like, it's annoying, because it's like, you know for a fact he wouldn't indulge or care about something like this, but they force him to do it anyway. Hell, the fact that he goes out every day helping What's-Her-Face do the explosions, and he hates it, but it's like, he still does it anyway. It's stupid. Like, it's really stupid. And then you have him on other occasions just be like, yeah, I won't be bothered doing monotony or, like, dumbass shit. So, and, you know, like, they switch up his actual character personality, or, like, things that he would do and things he won't do in order to sit there and make the jokes for the show, but that's the price you gotta pay for that shit. But at the same time, a character like Kazuma, when approached with the women from, like, High School DxD, he would have banged them out already. You still, like I said, because you're able to keep the party going, you can still have the multitude of different adventures and fights and things like that going on with the character. But by having it to where, like, we get over that nonsense of trying to slowly build up a relationship that kind of already been defined after, like, the second fucking season, we're well into making a fifth, you don't need to keep this pussyfooting going on anymore. Like, yes, they like each other. We got it. Get over it. Move on. You don't need to keep throwing women at the problem, nor do you need to sit there and make even more drastic situations to the character. But now, we could generally just show their life together, which is another thing harems don't tend to focus on or try to indulge in. And even like something like Tenshi Muyo, which finally was able to break ground and have Tenshi marry all of the girls, they immediately time skip to where a couple of them were already pregnant and had kids, and you didn't even get to see them live their lives as a couple or in a relationship. Because again, the Japanese just don't fucking do that. As soon as the relationship has been established, as far as anime is concerned, then that's the end of the fucking story. It's terrible that they think like that, when there is so much more to be gained by working on that shit, the ups and downs of relationships, the agreements, the disagreements, the fights, the getting to know each other, the getting to not know each other, finding out new things about one another, learning things, doing things as a couple rather than doing things as two people who can't admit that they're a couple. All of that, all of those doors are open to you as soon as you validate these, this character's relationship. But then they don't do anything with it. And again, because the only focus itself is just trying to establish the relationship, it's why it sucks so hard when they don't do anything else. Hell, anime is probably one of the more sought-off shows out there or mediums out there that has such a mighty need for an epilogue. Like, people desire epilogues from anime so goddamn bad, it's ridiculous. And you've seen multitude of different ones where they end on a cliff note of, these characters grew up, this character got married, this character had kids, and shit like that, only to just appease the fan base. And like, think of all the anime that you could possibly think of that have ended in that scope. Fucking Digimon ended that way. And it's weird, like, the second one, the one with Davis and all of them, ended with a time skip of everyone going off and doing crazy things. Also, side note, Matt does not deserve to be an astronaut, nor did he deserve to be with Sora. It was the dumbest fucking thing, and I hate everyone who agreed that that was an okay thing. Sora and Ty, or Sora and someone else, why the fuck would Matt get her sloppy seconds, get his sloppy seconds, or to validate that type of relationship as something that it would even be tangible? Sora knew Ty more than anything else. Not Matt, you bastards. Sorry, I just had a moment. but it generally, like I was saying, in terms of like thinking about like Kazuma within the same position as Issei from High School DxD. You put Kazuma from Konosuba in that same position, and it was like, yo, those girls would have been banged off six ways till Sunday by now. And you can still have the fun of the fights and stuff like that going on and be fine. But like take a character like Ferenchi from Beelzebub. Ferenchi is quite possibly my second favorite character throughout all of Beelzebub. Aside from being someone who generally isn't a fighter, as well as the main character's best friend, he's someone who essentially took no bullshit. He knew he couldn't fight, yet he was in the situation that he was in, but it was someone that Oga thought, like, he didn't look down on him for it. He didn't talk bad about him or anything like that. That was his friend, and it was cool. But Ferenchi was a core member of everything going on within Beelzebub. And it's like, yeah, he was a side character for the shits and giggles and whatnot, but he was someone who basically did not put up with other people's shit, even upon knowing that they could fight or whatever. And it was like, yeah, if he got tired of your bullshit, he called you out on it. Not even with the notion of that, yo, I might lose a fight or I might get beat up. He didn't care. And that was a dope-ass concept. But literally, they did nothing with that character. Hell, Beelzebub fell into the weird concept of trying to follow other shonen tropes when the story itself didn't need it. So it was kind of doing bad all by itself. But then, like, I mean bad in a good way. But then it was kind of doing that all by itself. And then for some reason, it decided to fall into tropes or do stupid shit that essentially was the downfall of fucking, Hitman Reborn and every other kind of weird shonen that kind of just dropped the fucking ball. Hell, what was it, like, you had a part where Oga was like, I'm gonna call out a name of an attack, and it was like, why would you do that? He lost to a guy that then lost to someone else that Oga had already defeated prior. It just goofy shit. Hell, or even have Ferenchi getting caught up in his feelings because he couldn't, like, he's not a strong person or whatever. And then you had it to where he was getting possessed by the different demons that served as, like, the pillars for Baby Bill's older brother. And it was like, that was a cool little arc for what it was. That was a cool little moment for what it was. But it didn't go anywhere with the character, nor did it do anything with the character. And it was just really depressing. But to even have that, it was depressing to have that and then not do something with a character that generally was a very original character. Ferenchi was not like any other fucking shonen character that I've seen in a very long time. He was a best friend, but he did not follow under the tropes that you would generally get from a shonen best friend. He wasn't the person that was like the damsel in distress, always getting his ass kicked, yet always whatever, for whatever reason, still claiming that the best friend is the strongest in the world. No, he was someone who knew his place, accepted his place, but at the same time, didn't mean he had to put up with bullshit. And that's what made him glorious. You generally did not get that from any, like, I've never gotten that from any other type of character. And there hasn't been another shonen character that has been like that since. And it's outrageous that essentially it's something to where it's like, I just read and looked at one anime and I picked up on the universal difference that this one character had. Yet, throughout the accolades of anime, there has never been anything else like it. I've added characters that essentially are no-nonsense characters I would do wonder within not just the harem genre, but in different respective genres. I've only named three fucking characters that I could think of. Everyone else is essentially like a main character that kind of does their own thing within the confines of their show. But just generally speaking, as like someone that'd be like a no-nonsense kind of character, I can only think of fucking three. Everyone else is just that lighthearted, foolhardy type of character, or just this cold, calculating, manipulative motherfucker. But you don't generally get someone that either goes with the flow or is very open and comfortable with either his sexuality, his likes or dislikes, or generally speaking, just women in general. You don't get that. Well, I'm saying I just named three characters, but I'm for whatever reason, I'm blanking on my favorite anime of all time, which is Golden Boy, when that is all that Kentaro Oe is. And like, above anyone else that I've said, like, that no one is like Kentaro Oe. No one. And like, that is such a universally unique character, it is disturbing. But it again, he's someone who is realistically, if you take this character's personality and put him in whatever goofy ass situation that you want to make up, because generally that's what they do with anime nowadays, because it's all the same shit. So you sit there and go, premise wise, all right, it's the same fucking thing, let's just add a Luffy, you know. And it was like, well, like, change up the premise now. It's curses, so instead we got a Naruto. All right, he got a demon inside of him, but instead of chakra they're using curses. Same type of personality, same mindset of wanting friendship, same mindset of just kind of being alone, and then now he have people, so he just doesn't want to lose the people that he now has, but they just keep getting into bullshit. Yeah, that's what Jujutsu Kaisen is. That's literally what Jujutsu Kaisen is. But the main character Jujutsu Kaisen is not anyone that I would... I say, I don't even know his fucking name, because he's not anything worth mentioning. Same thing as the main character of fucking Chainsaw Man. They're not worth mentioning. Hell, Eren Yeager essentially just kind of blew a lot of people's brains, because it's like, realistically, if you've never seen Code Geass, then what he's doing is new to you. But these are like the only two characters that have ever done that concept. But again, Eren is copying Lelouch. So it's not really anything that substantial, because Eren essentially, in the beginning of Attack on Titan, just acted like every other shonen protagonist ever. And then now at the end, he's acting like Lelouch v. Britannia. And he's being a cold, calculating, manipulative motherfucker. And again, those are the only two archetypes that anime keeps trying to represent or showcase to you as people that should be endeared or to be, like, looked at and emulated or anything like that, when that shouldn't be further from the case. You have a multitude of different people who go about doing grandiose things. You have a multitude of shows and concepts that have it to where people fucking dive it, where people fucking just do whatever it is that they do, but like generally they're just amazing. Like they're like amazing at the craft that they have. So I was getting guy at a stop sign in the middle of the street, and I was just confused because it's like, what the fuck you come from? But it's like you have like a multitude of different people and characters that can act in different ways of personality flaws, traits, and things like that. Someone who essentially is okay and accepting at anything and everything. They're not someone who's shy and standoffish just because a boob is touching their chest, but instead they just do the outrageous, like say the outrageous, they speak their mind and tell the truth. They're someone who's okay with stuff. Like, you know, like just an overall person. You make them a person. You don't make them a blank slate that you can build off of the tropes or the cliches that we've seen time and time again, but you generally come at them with the mindset of that they're a person. And so then once you build up the rapport that they're a person, then we're able to go from there. But like, you can actually make someone that's unique, someone that's indifferent, someone that actually should be emulated, a name that I would fucking remember. But you don't do that. And instead, you find yourselves in this weird, weird concept where you have so many people praising a series like Berserk, and you have a character like Guts be as dope as he is. But essentially, my argument wouldn't be just read Berserk, it's amazing, you gotta read Berserk, blah, blah, blah. My argument is like, why aren't there more series like Berserk? Why is it that Berserk is the only thing that has been tried in this context and is the only thing that has proven, like, hey, it's stuff that people actually want. People like seeing characters that essentially are perverted and perverse. People like watching the big boob anime girls get their comeuppance when they talk down to a guy who doesn't care what they have to say. Hell, fucking Magical Index built the fucking career off of this shit, where the main character literally is punching women constantly. Like, every season and every arc, he beats the hell out of a woman. This might sound bad, but it's the only thing worth watching for Magical Index. And I'm telling you, it's actually worthwhile on that aspect. But other than that, never mind. But yeah, for him, just whooping ass. Like, hey, yo, Toma. And it's like, hey, it's a name I remember. But it's like, what is the opposition to it? Where does that line end, where you sit there and find yourself just constantly making and doing the exact same thing as the other guy and essentially not improving your craft? And where do you find yourself with Shiroto Watanabe making fucking Cowboy Bebop? A series that, as far as the Japanese were concerned, was bad. Never let anyone tell you otherwise. That is exactly what happened. Trigun and Cowboy Bebop were not revered within Japan. Hell, Gundam wasn't even going well within Japan. And if it wasn't for reruns, it would not be the popular monster that it is today. But here we are. And it's something to where it's like, this is something that, if you look at all anime that came out during the time of Cowboy Bebop's inception, Trigun's inception, when fucking Gundam existed, there is nothing else like those. Like, everything else was these weird copy and paste shows that just kind of went to the ether and, like, who gave a shit? But then you look at what those things have accomplished and what they built on and what people love and respect about them after the fact, then you have to wonder, well, why wasn't that something that was done within the fucking 60s? Of, hey, yeah, this might be popular. This might be something that we can copy. This might be something that we can emulate. But we should only go so far before we just kind of fall into a rut. And then essentially find yourself in the same predicament where you keep repeating the same fucking thing over and over and over again. Hell, for Gundam, for the longest, all they ever did was just add on to the actual story of Gundam after the 1 year war, and they just continued doing it until someone finally woke the fuck up and went, hey, G-Gundam, Gundam Wing, just do something different. It's set in another world. We're dealing with giant robots. As long as we call them Gundam, no one's gonna care. And guess what? They didn't, and it was beautiful. And there's so many people who sit there and will tell you that Gundam Wing is the best Gundam ever. I'd argue against that. I'd argue highly against that. But it's not to say that that's something that you easily couldn't just pick up and enjoy. You can't look at Zeta Gundam and just, like, pop into it and not, and, like, kind of not know what happened within the 1 year war, or the shit that went down with Amuro and Char. Are these names confusing to you? They should be, because these are main characters from the beginning of Gundam. But there's so much Gundam after the very first one that still connects the timeline that you'd be remiss if you did not even attempt to look up what essentially ended or initiated the 1 year war. Hell, they make a new Zeon. You got the fucking people who come back after the fall of, like, certain incidents and things like that. Hell, there's a movie out that's about Hayato's Flash. And I believe, like, the second one hasn't been released yet. But Hayato's Flash is about a character that showed up on Char's Counterattack. Char's Counterattack came out so many goddamn years ago. Like, Jesus Christ. But that's what we're dealing with. That's the monotony of everything going on. And it's just like, how amazing would it be to actually have, and it's like, just for an example, to have a harem story where it does all that it does. It has amazing action scenes, it has dope fights, it has cool concepts, it has cool characters. But at the end of the day, you know for a fact the main character had sex. And it ain't that big of a deal. It sounds beautiful, right? And it's like, you don't need to show a sex scene. Hell, you don't even need to show nipples for me to understand and acknowledge that, hey, these people had sex. Again, going back to Gundam, they did that all the time. And you would be no worse for wear for doing something like that. But yet, for whatever reason, you don't. Only to facilitate the main character to be this blank slate of a character that anyone can put themselves in the perspective of. But the character themselves is such a blank slate that no one could ever possibly be that character. There's nothing that makes that character a character. They're just a placeholder for your imagination. And then you get a bunch of fucking fanfics that essentially are 1,000 times better than whatever it is that they made in anime. Yet for some reason it does not track in American stuff, but the Japanese it do. Life is weird. But yeah, this was a conversation I had with a coworker. And that's it for me. This has been another episode of Forward with Flame. I've been your host, Danny the Flame. I finally made it home and it's fucking hot in this car. And as always, good people, I hope you had fun.